So during Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we're up to Tetvav Amud Aleph, the fifth line, Maishna. We had quoted a Braisa that an Esrog that was from the third year going into the fourth year, so then there was a discussion which Maiser you take off of it. And earlier on Daf Yud Beis, at the end of Amud Aleph and then into Amud Beis, we had discussed if one picks a vegetable before Rosh Hashanah, between the second year and the third year, so the second year has Maiser Sheni, the third year has Maiser Ani, you pick two vegetables, one before sunset, one after sunset, so each one has their own Maiser, because one is from the second year, one is from the third year. So the Gemara asks, Maishna hatam diktani maitashniya nechnes lishlishit. How come over there when we were discussing vegetables, we were discussing a situation where it was the second year going into the third year? So that makes sense, because the second year is Maiser Sheni, the third year is Maiser Ani. But then how come here we changed formats, and Maishna hacha diktani imaitash lishit nechnes lavit? So why over here, when we wanted to discuss an esrog from the 1 year of Maiser going into the other year of Maiser, didn't we continue with the discussion of second year going into the third year? Why over here did we discuss third year going into the fourth year? I mean, it's the same halacha, it's the same concept. So why did we switch? We should have continued a consistent format talking about a second year going into a third year. Answers the Gemara. Milta agavoche kamashmalan. The Braisa wanted to teach you something by the way. The etrog kashele yada, that the esrog, the fact that people keep touching it is harmful to it. The aidi dimemashmeshi beikuli alma bashvit, and because during the Shemitah, everyone's touching it, everyone's touching the tree, picking the fruits, Shemitah, you have to open up your field. So the fact that everyone's in your field picking fruits, so the norm is that you don't have fruit on the second year. It takes 3 years to recover from the Shemitah. The norm is that you won't have fruits from the second year going into the third year, because the tree won't have recovered from the harmful effects of everyone touching it during the Shemitah year. That's why the Braisa wanted to mention, by the way, an esrog from the third year going into the fourth year, and it didn't stick with its standard format of a second year going into a third year, because it's not so common that you're actually going to have an esrog tree with fruits in the second year going into the third year. Now, obviously you have some trees that have fruits, they had to have esrogim for sukkahs of the first year and the second year. But it means that
they will touch the fruits to see if they're ripe in
if everyone comes into the field, people are touchy. Yeah, it's, no, if it's someone else's tree, people touch.
We might talk about the huge tree. It depends on the size of the tree. Like, can we assume that this will happen with each tree?
It's talking about the tree. The tree needed to recover from Shemitah. The trees weren't producing too much fruit in the first and second year because of everyone's touching it during the Shemitah.
You also need to be careful to leave some fruits for the third year?
They don't have to be careful of anything. It's Shemitah. So the Tana didn't want to take an example of fruits on the tree in the second year because that's not so common. Most of the esrog trees didn't recover from Shemitah for 2 years. Only in the third year would they start producing esrogim again. So that's why the Tana didn't give that example. Rabbi Yochanan, who was the disciple of Rabbi Yanai, asked him the following question. Etrog Rosh Hashanah shelo imatai. When is the new year for an esrog? We saw in the previous daf that esrog has a machlokes. Is it like a fruit? Is it like a vegetable? So he asked him, when's the Rosh Hashanah of the esrog? Amalei Shvat. So he answered him, Shvat, it's like a tree. Shvat de Chodashim. Shvat, like we count the months, and that means that even in a leap year, that would be Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev, Teves, Shvat, the fifth month. Or Shvat de Tkufa, or Shvat of the seasons, meaning you figure out when the winter season comes. Just a second. Sorry. And Shvat of the Tkufa means that you have to calculate when does the winter come in, Meaning, you calculate the seasons, and when the winter begins, that's called Kufat Tevet, the season of the winter. So you count 30 days from that, and then you're holding in Shvat, going by the seasons. Meaning, are you talking to me about the month of Shvat, going by our lunar calendar? Or are you talking about Shvat, based on the solar calendar, meaning a month after winter starts? When you say Shvat, what do you mean? Meaning, you mean the month Shvat on our lunar calendar, or do you mean a month after the winter starts, going by the solar calendar? Well, being that the idea here is I want to know when the sap is moving in the tree. I want to know when the trees have stopped producing sap that was based on the rains of last year. So then that's a question of seasons. So it's logical that it'll go by seasons. Tosfos asks that, you know, you should have asked the same thing about the other months in the Mishnah. Whatever has to do with seasons, we should have discussed the seasons based on the solar calendar. Meaning this question shouldn't be only about the Esrog and only about Shabbat. This question should have been about everything that pertains to seasons. Seasons are not based on the lunar calendar. A little bit. But we keep adjusting our lunar calendar so it should stay in tune with the solar calendar. But if you're going to give me a date on the lunar calendar, that's not exactly going to be the same place on the solar calendar every year. So the question should apply to all the dates of the Mishnah, all the beginnings of the year that really pertain to the crops, that pertain to the seasons.
So you're saying that Shvat, going according to the solar calendar, will be independent from the Chodashim, according to the moon?
Again?
So the moon, the Chodesh, the Jewish month, goes according to the
right?
So the seasons will be independent from the month and will be independent from the...
Seasons are slightly independent. The seasons go by the solar calendar.
We know that we need to have...
We're always adjusting. Right, but that's a general season. Pesach shouldn't fall out in the middle of the winter. But every year we adjust. We make leap years. One year it's earlier, one year it's later. But it's not on a specific date in the solar calendar. When you're dealing with the seasons, so although the moon also affects the crops, but the sun has a greater impact. So his question was, are we going to calculate it based on the solar calendar? And his answer is, Amale Shivat Dechodashim. He told him we go based on our lunar calendar. That's our calendar, and our date, and our definition of the year, and the year, even when it pertains to crops, is going to be based on the lunar calendar. That's his answer. Yeah, it's not even clear why it should be so. Meaning the question is a very strong question. If you're dealing with crops, it makes more sense to go by the solar calendar. And the answer is, this is the way we work. Bamine Rava Merav Nachman. I'll tell you what, in the answer, there's really a certain amount of depth that makes it work better. Meaning, if it's just a question of crops, okay, so then the question sounds very strong. But if you remember that when it comes to the Maaser, that's Doraisa, so then the Torah defines for me that the beginning of the year is when? Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Tishrei. The Torah doesn't tell me go by the solar calendar, the Torah tells me go by your calendar. It won't be identical every year on the solar calendar, I don't care, the Torah told me Rosh Hashanah. So then I say, okay, so if all the other areas are rabbinic institutions, so then the rabbis will frame their institution based on what we see in the Torah. The Torah gave me a date on the lunar calendar, so then the rabbis also give me a date based on the lunar calendar. The only problem is that we saw on the daf before that you have indications from the Torah for some of the Torah's Trumas and Maestros, where the Torah said you got to set a date based on the ripening of the crop for things that are chayv d'oraisa, meaning there are areas that the Torah didn't define it for me. So that's where it gets a little sticky. Okay, back to our Gemara. Bamine Rava Merav Nachman. Rav asked Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a big dayan in Rav's time, and we find Rav asking him a lot of questions. Some say it was Rav Yochanan who asked Rabbi Yanai this question. Remember, Rabbi Yanai was Rav Yochanan's Rebbe. Hayta shana meuberet mau. What happens in a leap year? You have two Adars. So what do you do? Do you say that Shabbat is the regular month of Shabbat? Or do you say, well, wait a second, you're going to have an extra month this winter. So when we say Shabbat, we mean the month before Adar, before the final Adar. So maybe it's the first Adar. So is it the Shabbat that's near Teves, or is it the first Adar that comes in place of Shabbat?
So we're talking about Shabbat. We talk about Shabbat on this situation because
that's the month that's adjacent to Adar. Yeah. So how do we view it? Is the extra month like Shabbat in this regard? Because the winter ends up being longer. You see, the spring is going to come in later on a leap year. Pesach is in the spring, and Pesach is going to be later. So maybe when I want to know when Rosh Hashanah is for the Esrogim, I should go based on the first Adar, because that's the last month before the final Adar. That's the second last month before the spring. Or do I say the regular Shabbat? Amar lo, so the Rebbe answered him, Halecha charov shanim. Go based on the way you do it most years, meaning you go by the month whose name is Shvat. End of story. Okay, so the conclusion is what we would have thought all along. When we said Shvat, we meant Shvat and nothing but Shvat. And Shvat means the Shvat that we call Shvat in our lunar calendar, and I don't care if it's a leap year or not a leap year, Shvat. So although the questions were good questions, the answers are the way we would have said had we not asked the questions. Amar Rabba, Etrog bat Shishit. If I have an Esrog that reached Chanata, remember that level of ripening in the sixth year, Shenichnesa leShvit, and then I left it on the tree, and it continued ripening going into the year of Shemitah. So on the one hand, you ask me, is it Chayv and Trumas and Maestros? I say, well, it reached the cutoff point in the sixth year. It should be Chayv. On the other hand, I'm going to pick it now in the Shemitah year. So Rava says, Ptura mina maaser uptura mina biyu. You don't have to take off Maaser, and you don't have to treat it like Shemitah fruit, meaning you could keep it beyond the point of biyur. As we discussed, that there's a point where you got to get rid of all the Shemitah fruit. So on the one hand, he says, I treat it like Shemitah, and I don't make you take off Trumas and Maestros. On the other hand, I don't treat it like Shemitah. You could keep enjoying it even after you can't enjoy the Shemitah fruit.
So just because the Hanata was on 16.
He didn't explain why yet. The Gemara is going to go in depth now. How does this work? Ubat Shvit, and then Rava said, a next halacha. If I have an Esrog from the seventh year that it did Chanata during the Shemitah, Shenichnesa la Shminit, and then it continued ripening going into the eighth year, so then I say, okay, it reached its cutoff point in Shemitah, so Ptura b'maser, you don't have to take off Maaser. There, Chayevet bebiur, and you must get rid of it when you have to get rid of the Shemitah fruit. Okay, so now Abaye, his Rava's contemporary, Amale Abaye, so Abaye yes, and he says, okay, Bish lemaseifa, I understand the second case, you have fruit of Shemitah, so I understand why I don't have to take off Maaser, because it was Shemitah fruit. I understand that you're going by the Chanata, you're going by the cutoff point, being that it was Hefker and Shemitah. So you have to, I understand it's not Chayv and Maaser. And I also understand why it's Chayv and Beer. Yeah? That works for me. Because what are you saying in the final ruling, in the second case? You're saying, I'm going after the seventh year, I'm going after the holiness of Shemitah, because it reached Chanata, it reached its cutoff point in Shemitah, that works fine for me. Yeah? So the second ruling you said works for me. L'chumra, I understand. You gave it the stringencies of Shemitah, fine. Now, what was the first ruling you gave? El Reisha, what was your first ruling? You said if the fruit did Chanatan the sixth year, but I let it stay on the tree until the seventh year. So what are you saying? You're saying Tuamina Biu. You don't have to give it the rules of Shemitah. So that also fits with your second ruling. What are you saying? You're saying you're going by the time it reached Chanatah, which was the sixth year. Okay, that was your second ruling, right? The second ruling said if it reached Chanatah and Shemitah, it's Shemitah fruit. Pater from Meiser, Chayv and Deer. Works. What was the first ruling? Well, the first half of the first ruling works for me because you said that it is Pater from Beer, meaning it doesn't have the Shemitah rules. I understand that. Amai damrinan zilbata chanata. Because you say, when did it reach chanata? In the sixth year. So all the rulings so far tell me I go by chanata. The second case you went by chanata, and in part of your ruling in the first case you went by chanata. But now here's my problem. Ihachi, but then I don't understand. Techayev b'maaser. How come you said it's potter from maaser? Meaning, you say, I'm going by chanata. That's why if it did chanata in the seventh year, even though it stayed on the tree until the eighth year, potter from maaser, chayev and beer, good, kosher, no problem. You tell me it's potter from beer when it was did chanata in the sixth year, I understand, because you say chanata is what counts. But then make him chayev and trumas and maaseros. You're telling me chanata counts, well, did chanata in the sixth year. So how could you say it's potter from trumas and maaseros? Every other ruling you gave means you're going by chanata. So then you should make it chayev and trumas and maaseros. Make sense? Okay. Amale, so Rava answered him, wait, you're right. Technically it did chanata in the sixth year. I should have said it's chayv and maaser, but yada kol mimashmashin ba. Everyone who walks into that field is taking whatever they want, right? Meaning he left the fruit on the tree from the sixth year into the seventh year. Technically that fruit is not hefker. But the facts are that no one knows it. So everyone's taking it. So he could stand from today until tomorrow and say, it's not after, it's not after. Before he knows it, someone's going to walk off with it, right? So whether he likes it or not, even though halachically he's right, it's not after. But the facts on the ground are that it is after, whether he likes it or not. And therefore he's brought there from Trumas and Maestros because it is after. You'll tell me, halachically, it's not after. But you know what? Imagine a guy has a piece of meat on the street and a lion walks up to that piece of meat. You say, not Efker, no one touched my meat, it's not Efker. We don't listen to you, of course it's Efker. You know as well as I do, you can't touch that meat, the lion's standing over it. Right? So there are times where I say what's called Zuto Shel Yam. A guy drops his wallet in the middle of the Atlantic. And blah, 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 it's going down. And he says, I'm not Miyash, not after. What do you mean not Miyash? What are you going to do? There are sharks swimming all around. There's a wallet going down. What are you going to do? The halacha says, I don't care what you say. It's after. There are situations, right, where you can't do anything. You can't. You could stand there from today until tomorrow and say, I don't give up. The halacha says he gave up. So that's what Rava says. Technically, in this situation, in this, it's your field, but it's open. You don't have control. The second you left it on the tree,
these will not make it forbidden fruits.
People shouldn't take it, but at the end of the day, they don't know, so they will.
These will not be
Gezel. That's a good question, but Rava says. It's a situation, I'll give you what it's like. Let's say a guy owns a field, and the whole Roman legion decides they're crossing through the field. What are you going to say? His fruits aren't hefker? In a second, everything will be destroyed. It's all hefker. For sure it's hefker. He could stand there and say, it's my field, it's my fruit, don't touch it. What do you mean don't touch it? All the Roman forces are going across. What's he going to say and what's he going to do? He can't do anything. It's hefker. It's finished. The field is still his, but the fruits are finished. Everyone knows the legion is going to take everything they want. there's going to be nothing left by the time they finish crossing the field.
People from the village could also take.
Yeah, it's over. It's Hefker, right. So that's what Rava says. Rava says.
So can we say that also piling up the city is also good for the villages?
There can be instances where everything's for sure going to be destroyed. Where it's Hefker. I'll give you an example. There's a plague of locusts that's about to wipe out a whole field. You can't stop them. You could stand there and take whatever grains you want. It's over. The field is finished.
Imagine that you have a small village by the ocean and you are the only person with the current time. So you are going to escape and no one else. So meaning that you can enter everyone's house and take what you want?
Yeah, yes. Yes, that's called Zuto Shel Yam. Yeah. If you might get killed for it, so don't do it. I mean, but practically, if everything's going to be destroyed, so what are you going to say? It's mine. It's not yours. It's finished. It's gone.
So, but can I say that there are many lavim from the Torah that, you know, when can you get the patur from a lav from the Torah?
It depends on how clear it is that everything's going to be destroyed. Meaning, it has to be that it's clear and imminent. It's not that, oh, they're saying tornadoes coming in 3 days. They're saying that all the rainwaters are going to wash away the village. No, they're sometimes saying they're wrong. It has to be that the flood is coming down the block. It can't be a situation where I think the flood is going to hit here. It has to be a situation where the flood is coming down the block. In a matter of seconds, everything's going to be destroyed. At that moment, it's all hefker.
So if someone is being swallowed by fire and this person is going to die, no way he can escape. You can kill him in order to prevent him from having pain.
That's a totally different question.
So we know that the person is going to die.
That's a totally different question. That's you're right. So that's a discussion in halacha. There can be instances. There's a slight difference between killing him and not extending his life. The Talmud says that one of the rabbis was being burned to death, and he asked the executioner, take off the wet gauzes off my chest, I'll die quicker. And the executioner who did it merited the world to come. So you see, it was a good thing that he did. He was for sure dying. He was being burnt at the stake. And you see that when he hastened his death, that was considered a mitzvah. So that's all discussed in halacha. When can you say that? When can't you say that? You understand? We're dealing with life and death here.
We're forbidden to touch about if someone is about to die. You want to die faster, right?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You're in a lot of sources. It all has to be learned and it's all discussed. Back to our Gemara. So Rava's answer was, you're right. Technically, the fruit is from the sixth year. But, yada kol mimish mishin ba. Everyone's touching his fruits. You want to tell me it's chayv and maaser? It's hefker, whether he likes it or not. It's hefker. Rav Amnuna said a different ruling. He said like this: if you have an esrog from the sixth year that's entering the seventh year, lolam shishit, that's fruit of the sixth year. It's chayiv in meiser, because what do you want? It's not hefker. People are touching it. That's gezel, like you kept claiming, and we rule like Rav Amnuna. What do you want? So people are touching it. That doesn't make it pater for Maaser. Rav Amnuna argues on Rava. He says,
So people will be touching on Shemitah here.
The fruit from last year, and that's thievery. That doesn't make it hefker. He should put up a big sign, if you touch this, you're a thief. And they are a thief. They're going to touch it anyways. Okay, so they're robbers. That doesn't make it hefker. So Rav Amnuna says, Bat shishit shenichnes tashvit lolam shishit. If you have fruits from the sixth year entering the seventh year, you say, being that it did chanata in the sixth year, so it's chayav trumas and meiser, and shavias doesn't affect it. You'll tell me everyone's touching it. They're all robbers. They're thieves. But it's still chayav and trumas and meiser. Uvat shvit anichneset lashminit, and if you have fruit, an esrog from the seventh year, that enters the eighth year, so being that it did chanata in the seventh year, lolam shvit, that's also going to have all the rules of Shemitah.
So could it be a loophole for those that don't want to leave the corners of the fields to the poor? Could it be finding your loophole?
so people that don't have the field will not pick fruits on 6th year going to 7th year, so he can be patur from doing the peyot.
Let's talk about that. Even though, let's just finish one more opinion. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, he says the following, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Etrog bat shishit shenichneset lashvit ptura min ha-maseh uptura min ha-biur. An esrog that grew in the 6th year and then entered the 7th year is potter from maaser, I give it the leniency of Shemitah, and potter from beer, I give it the leniency as though it was from the 6th year. So how come? She'en lecha davar shechayav b'maaser, because nothing is going to be chayav in maaser, elam ken gadal b'chiyuv v'nilkat b'chiyuv. It has to have grown in a year that it's chayav, and be picked in a year that it's chayav. Uvat shvit shenichnesa lashminit, and an esrog that grew in the 7th year and then entered the 8th year is ptura min ha-maaser uptura min ha-biur, is also potter from maaser and potter from beer. She'en lecha davar shechayav bebiur, ela im ken gadel b'shvit v'nilkat b'shvit. It's not chayav in shvius, in shmita, in beer, unless it grew in shmita and was picked in shmita. Okay, so Reisha, the first case where he said that it is potter from Meiser, that's like Rava, that it's potter from Biur, okay, that works, that's because he's going by Chanata, so that's Kasha le Rav Amnuna. His first ruling works with Rava, but it's a question on Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna said, I go after Chanata all the way. Seifa, the second ruling, where he said, if it did Chanata in the 7th year and went into the 8th year, so then it is potter from Biur. So that's not good according to Rava. Rava said, once it did Chanata in the 7th year, it's Chayav in Biur. So that's Kasha ben Rabba, ben Rav Amnuna, because according to Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna had said that Nesrog from the 7th year going into the 8th year has all the dinim of Shvius. And here we said it is potter from beer. So it's a question on both of them. Answers the Gemara, Tanai. Really, it's a machlokas Tanai. De Tanya. It says in the Braisa, Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Avtulmus, He'id mishum chamisha zkenim, etrog achar lekitato lemaaser. That he gave the following testimony, that when it comes to Meiser, for an Esrog, you go by when it was picked. And the rabbis came to account in Usha, and they ruled, Achar lekitato ben lemaaser, ben lashvi'it. You go by when it was picked, be it for Meiser, be it for Shemitah. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Shvi'it mandach al Shmei. Who was talking about Shvi'is? The whole Braisa was talking about Meiser. How'd that get into the picture? So the Gemara says, Chesui Mechsav Achiktani. No, no, no. The Braisa has to read a little different. Etrog achar lekitato lemaaser, v'achar chanata lashvi'it. When it comes to Meiser, you go by when it was picked. When it comes to Shemitah, you go by when it did chanata. V'raboteinu nimnu be'usha v'gamru, and the rabbis came to account in the city of Usha, and they gave the following ruling, that in Esrog is achar lekitato, you go by when it was picked, ben lemaaser, ben lashvit, for Meiser and for Shemitah, you go by when it was picked. Okay, so now we got to make heads or tails of all of this. I think we have a little bit of time. They didn't come yet. Okay. So let's make heads or tails of all this. The Gemara says, Tanai, you're right. This quote of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that really doesn't agree with Rabba or Rav Amnuna. Doesn't work like them. But the other braisa that we're going to quote, that works according to Rabba and Rav Amnuna. How does that work? Goes like this. Tanakama says that for Meiser, you go by when it was picked. Yeah? So, If I want to decide which year of Maaser it goes by, I need to know when what year it was picked. I don't go by Chanata for Maaser. Yeah? And I do go by Chanata for Shemitah. Okay. So, now let's think for a second. If I have fruit of Shemitah that did Chanata and Shemitah, and I picked it on the eighth year. So in such a scenario, being that it did Chanata and Shemitah, Satana Kama holds, okay, it's Shemitah fruit, it's Hefker. Because for Shemitah, I go by Chanata, right? So now, it's not that it's Potter from Meiser because by Meiser I go by Chanata. It's Potter from Meiser because by default, it's Hefker. Okay, so now let's look at that. Who does that fit with? That fits with Rav Hamnuna, right? Because Rav Hamnuna said if it did Chanata in the seventh year, then I apply Shemitah and it's Potter from Trumas and Maestros. It's not the way we understood Rav Hamnuna. We thought it's because you're going by Chanata for Shemitah and Maaser, and that's not the real reason. The reason is because you're going by Chanata for Shemitah, and the second you're going by Chanata for Shemitah, it's Hefker. And once it's Hefker, it's Potter from Maaser, even though technically for Maaser I would go by the eighth year. Let's understand this, and then we'll see if we have time for other questions. Now, so fruit that goes from the seventh year into the eighth year is chayav in biur, because I give it the rules of Shemitah. I say Shemitah goes by Chanata, and it did Chanata in the seventh year. If I have fruits from the sixth year going into the seventh year, so I can't say it's chayav in Shemitah, because for Shemitah I go by Chanata, and that happened in the sixth year. And then Rabba and Rav Hamnuna differ on what Avtulmus meant by that. Rav Hamnuna says that if it's potter, it doesn't have the din of biur because it reached Chanata in the sixth year. So then it doesn't have the din of biur because it really doesn't have Shemitah applied to it. So then he says, okay, so then it's chayiv and miser because it's not hefker. It's not hefker, it doesn't have Shemitah, it did Chanata in the sixth year. And Rabba says, you're right, but Avtomo still says it's potter from Shemitah because practically everyone's touching it, whether you like it or not, they're still touching it, and that's why Rabba says that the fruit of the sixth year going into the seventh year technically should be chayiv and miser, but it's potter from miser because practically everyone's touching it.
The owner, he has the responsibility of giving miser and check all those things. So if he allows that the fruit...
I didn't understand.
The owner... should be so. The owner allows that the fruit from that Chanata in sixth year enters Shemitah, right? So he knows that people will take the fruits as Hefker. The question is, by knowing that, he will not be forced to pick up the fruits in the Chanata was in sixth year in order to give Maaser.
I don't know. I hear.
Himself from
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's allowed to do that in that vein. Okay. Let's just do four more lines. I'm sorry, Yehuda, we're just finishing the sugya. Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Amri Talvayu, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both said, Etrog bat shishit shenichnasa lashvit lolam shishit, an esrog that had Chanota in the sixth year going into the seventh year is, you go by all the rules of the sixth year, not like Rabbi and Rabbi Nuna. When Ravin came, he quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Etrog bat shishit shenichnasa lashvit, afilu kezait, even if it only grew a little bit in the sixth year, and the majority of the growth is in the seventh year, then asit kikar, and then later on, it grew a tremendous amount during the seventh year, chayavin alea mishum tevel, it is chayavin maiser, because I go after Chanata, and I say, I don't do the kula of Rava, I don't take anything into account but the fact that it reached Chanata in the sixth year, it reached that Kazayas growth, and after that, Rabbi Yochanan rules, it's a fruit of the sixth year, and I don't care about anything else. And with this, we really close the sugya of an Esrog, and next time we'll start with the sugya of Tu B'Shvat and other fruit trees. So the whole complicated sugya of Esrog we just finished, Baruch Hashem. And this is the last difficult sugya in this perek. The rest gets easy. We're going to be discussing on how we get judged on Rosh Hashanah and a whole bunch of agadita on how Hashem judges us all together and how Hashem forgives us. That's the next gemaros, starting with the next daf, are much easier.